What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. One of the things, and I think it is fair to evaluate those who claim to be starting an entirely new religion, or in the case of Joseph Smith and Muhammad, not so much a new religion, but they claim to be restoring the old religion, the original religion, either in the case of Islam or in the case of Mormonism, to evaluate them based upon what they did, not only what they wrote and said, but also what they did, not only what they taught, not only their actions that were they claimed to have done, like hear from God, converse with angels, get private revelation, speak for God, but also their moral character. I think it's a fair evaluation. And if you do for both these men, Joseph Smith and for Muhammad, parallels begin to emerge. That's part of our series that we're doing with Dr. Alvin Schmidt on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad. He's a regular guest. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he is author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for April, The American Muhammad. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Did either of these men, Joseph Smith or Muhammad, claim personally to be, what, paragons of virtue, virtuous examples?
Yeah, for example, with Muhammad, while he may not exactly have said it, he revealed it by his actions. He was incapable of taking any kind of criticism. In fact, criticism resulted often in the death of that person who criticized him. And with Joseph Smith, somewhat similar, but Joseph Smith also, for example, said, let me give you a quote. I have more to boast of than any man ever had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood by me. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did that. I boast that no man ever did such work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me. That's a direct quote from Joseph Smith, indicating again that he was definitely a man of virtue and a man of great ability. And with going back to Muhammad again, in his days, poets often wrote poetry as journalists write commentaries today in newspapers. And when some of them wrote negative poems about him, he had them executed. So again, by implication is, I am superior, I am above criticism, and no one dare do so, and if someone does, he or she will pay the price.
Both of these men in time imposed all sorts of ceremonies, traditions, laws, regulations upon their followers, both Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Did either of these men fail to live up to the rules they set for their disciples?
Oh, definitely. I don't even know whether they tried to live up to the rules that they set for their disciples, because they were prophets of God, as they called themselves. And hence, as I talk about it in the book, they were above the law. And Joseph Smith made it very plain, and so did Muhammad. They were above the law. The law that applied to other people did not apply to them.
So it wasn't only that they claimed to live by the same rules that they imposed on others, they actually claimed to be exempt from those rules.
Exactly right. There's no evidence that they tried to, or that they ever said that the laws that their followers were supposed to follow applied to them. No way.
Well, let's kind of start with the simple parallel to draw here, and that is between whether or not Muhammad and Joseph Smith in their lives kind of lived in parallel here. Whether or not they can be demonstrated to have lied, to engaged in intentional deception.
Yes, they very much did. They lied in so many ways, it's astounding, and deceived at the same time. For example, Muhammad had a bodyguard assassin, and I'll talk about that in a little while. So did Joseph Smith. And these assassins often did away with the person that Muhammad didn't want or that Joseph Smith saw as his enemies. And so that was often as part of their deception. They deceived people, they tricked people into believing that they were going to be befriended by some of Muhammad's friends. Instead, they executed him, and I cite examples of that in the book. Similarly with Joseph Smith, he was able to deceive people. For example, the most pronounced kind of deception was, for years he said that he never, ever had any relationships with women whom he called his spiritual wives. In fact, he even quoted in his Doctrine and Covenants that no man should be having any sexual relationships with another woman. Well, in July of 1843, he received a revelation from God that it was now okay for him to have multiple or plural wives. So for 10 years, from 1833 to 1843, he was deceiving people, and even when the revelation came, he still kept it under wraps and didn't reveal it to the Mormon population in Nauvoo, but a few of the insiders did know. So again, he was practicing deception the whole time, and similarly with Muhammad. Muhammad brought about the concept of taqiyya. Taqiyya is very much a part of Islamic theology today. It means basically that you can lie to achieve a good or noble end, or may not even be a good end, but an end that you desire to have. It's also something to refer to in Islamic literature as holy hypocrisy. Well, Muhammad introduced that into Islam, and so you see again the deception was practiced by both men in different ways.
Okay, now to that point of Muhammad's kind of policy that he allows for in his alleged revelations, that not only he but his followers were allowed to engage in deception under certain circumstances. Did Joseph Smith have a kind of a written policy in any of his alleged revelations of that nature?
Not written as such, except what he would cite in terms of the Doctrine and Covenants. Doctrine and Covenants is another, it's basically a book of revelations, as he called it, that he received from God. And therein, a lot of statements and requirements were made for his followers as to what they should do and believe in terms of being a good and faithful Mormon.
Coming back to something you mentioned before, kind of on a broader scale, while both these men had bodyguard assassins, as you described them, violence was pretty common for both of these guys, Joseph Smith and Muhammad, wasn't
it? Very, very much so. And for example, in Arabia, where Muhammad lived and functioned, it was part of the Arabian culture. Intertribal violence was very, very common. When you move to this country with Joseph Smith, obviously in the 1830s and early 1840s, the Wild West, as we often refer to, was indeed quite wild. So individuals could be and were assassinated without any recourse of being discovered and taken to a court of law. So both of them practice, you know, actual violence. And Smith had his bodyguard by the name of Orrin Porter Rockwell, who happened to have been a second cousin, who was a shaggy-haired individual who never really kept himself very clean and whatnot at all. He was admired by Joseph Smith to the nth degree because he was as loyal as all get-out. When Smith was in prison for almost 6 months in Liberty, Missouri, he hovered around the prison almost each and every day because he was so faithful and loyal to Smith. And then Smith had him go to, in 1842, back to the Independence area to execute Governor Lilburn Boggs, because Boggs had, in 1839, expelled the Mormons from Missouri, and where they ended up then in Nauvoo, Illinois. And when one asked him, when Smith was asked, where is Porter Rockwell, he said he is gone to fulfill a prophecy. Well, he did shoot, did hit at night while Boggs was reading a book. He hit a shot through the window, he hit him, but Boggs survived. And later on in Utah, when Porter Rockwell went with Brigham Young, he openly admitted that he shot and tried to kill Boggs, but did not succeed. And so, going to Muhammad again, his main bodyguard assassin was Maslama, who killed a number of individuals at Muhammad's request. So again, a tremendous parallel that is in many ways very shocking and not known, obviously, and doesn't appear in history, but it's well documented that this is another common parallel between the two men, Smith and Muhammad.
Were either of them, we've got about a minute and a half before our first break, were either of these men personally physically violent? That is, not just having henchmen do their dirty work for them.
Yes. In fact, I cite an example or two of Muhammad, where, for example, one individual in his party said, "Where is Muhammad? There is no peace when he is around." He took the sword from an associate and stabbed the man through the throat. That was how he treated simply a question, "Where is Muhammad? There's no peace with him around." Joseph Smith, too, admitted that he violently choked a Baptist preacher out back in the Kirtland area, and then later on he violently attacked a individual in Illinois who came to on the part of the government to do some financial investigation. So, and he was physically violent with his own wife, Emma, and that's all documented.
Well, speaking of wives, when we come back, there's another remarkable parallel of the moral nature between Joseph Smith and Muhammad, the founder of Mormonism, the founder of Islam, and that has to do with the ladies. And in the case of both men, it was a lot of ladies. We'll talk about that after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Sophisticated Lutheran Apologetics. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Association of Evangelical Lutheran Congregations invites you to our third annual free conference and business meeting, April 16 through 18 at Trinity Lutheran Church, Austin, Texas. The conference theme is Christ for Us, the Divine Service. Speakers include Reverend Rick Sawyer, Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish, Reverend Brian Wolfbuehler, and others. Details are available at www.christforus.org. acelc.net.
When someone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, I Believe. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, why Lutheranism, with why not? Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part three of our four-part series on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad. Today we're talking about the moral parallels. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he's authored the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. It's called The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism, Unveiling Parallels Between Two Self-Proclaimed Prophets. And if you know anything about Dr. Schmidt's books, they are written the way a sociologist writes a book. He looks at these things in terms of the facts. There's not a lot of opining. There's not a lot of speculation. There's simply the facts, and it's good, basic material laying out the parallels between these two founders of these two false religions. You can find out more about the American Muhammad at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The American Muhammad, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Schmidt, let's turn to the issue of women and wives. Where do you begin with these two men?
Interesting question. Where do you begin, right? Well, you know, Muhammad, when he got married at age 25, his first wife was 40. And he was very faithful to her. He didn't have any other women or any concubines, as far as I can determine, until she died in 619. Then shortly after she was dead, he took another wife. And then shortly after that, he took another wife who was only 6 years old, and he consummated the marriage at her age being nine years old. And then after that, he took a whole number. It's hard to say how many he had. Some Mormon scholars believe he had 19, some say 11, but he also had a number of concubines in addition to that. A Shiite Muslim who's no longer alive says that he had 19 wives. When we come to Joseph Smith, he was also initially faithful to his wife Emma, and that's another parallel. They were both initially faithful. But Smith, soon after about six years after he was married, began to consort with other women whom he liked to call his spiritual wives. An excellent book was written in 2001 by a Mormon. And as far as I know, he's still in good standing. It's a tremendous book, about 400 or 500 pages long. Its title is In Sacred Loneliness, The Plural Marriages of Joseph Smith. And he indicates documents that Joseph Smith had 33 different wives plus some other women. Now, I also need to say that when you say Joseph Smith had 33 wives, none of them were really legal wives, because polygyny, the marrying of many women, was never really legal in this country. So they were wives in the sense of him taking them as his, as he called them, spiritual wives, and considered himself spiritually married to them, and he had the women convinced that this is what he did. And when you go to Muhammad, he didn't have to justify his wives being spiritual creatures, so to speak, because the Arab culture in which he lived had no problem with having multiple wives. Joseph Smith, being a different culture, didn't have that going for him.
So does that also explain, while the parallels here are absolutely remarkable between the two men, Joseph Smith went the extra step, not just to justify, he actually he came up with an entire theological principle. One might even argue that he at some point began to build most of Mormonism and its peculiar doctrines around his desire to have more than one wife.
Oh, yes, very, very much so. And, you know, initially in his Doctrine and Covenants about 10 years before he finally received another revelation that it was okay for him and other Mormon men to have plural wives. He had, in Doctrine of Covenants, very decidedly said the revelation was that no man should have more than one wife. So now he contradicted himself 10 years later in July of 1843, and it's an interesting revelation if you read it. It specifically addressed that he not only he may have a number of wives, but also scolds his wife if she doesn't accept it. And so that was his justification, but he still kept that under wraps. And there we go back to the deception again. It was not made public by Joseph Smith that he had other wives. He made it known to some of the inner circle in Nauvoo, but it was not made public that it was acceptable for Mormon of number of wives until Brigham Young in the 1851 in Utah. But in the meantime, they all, I shouldn't say all, but many Mormon men had multiple wives, including Brigham Young. Brigham Young, interestingly, even wanted to take Emma Smith, Joseph's widow, after he was assassinated, but she spurned him, and she never went to Utah. In fact, she died in Nauvoo. And she also, by the way, did also not go with her, and one of them, Joseph Smith III, became then the head of the reorganized Church of Latter-day Saints, which is headquartered in Independence, Missouri.
Okay, and it's not just polygamy, plural marriage, any of those kind of things. And you've already hinted at this in the case of Muhammad, taking underaged wives, not just underage by modern sensibilities, but underage by any era's and culture's sensibilities.
Yes. Muhammad took Aisha, was her name, at age 6, consummated the marriage 3 years later when she was 9 years old. That's why some people have called him a pedophile, and they're quite correct, although today in politically correct culture, that will never be permitted to be aired. And in Smith's case, he took a 14-year-old girl, and I checked the legal documents in Illinois, in Nauvoo at that time. That was totally illegal. So both of them took underage women, girls, if you will, as wives. They also took wives to themselves that were already married. Muhammad did that. He had no compunctions about taking someone else's wife. Similarly with Smith. So again, there you have a moral parallel that is rather astounding. And Joseph Smith never apologized for it, nor did Muhammad. It was just something that they as prophets felt they had the right to do.
Did this reflect in either or both of these men a certain opinion about women?
Yes. I indicate in the book that both of them had, again, another parallel, a low opinion of women. Muhammad, for example, in the Hadith, which is the extra publication next to the Quran, which has the sayings and traditions of Muhammad, in there he says, "I looked at hell and discovered that most of the occupants were women." To this day, in Islamic theology, a woman in the court of law, her testimony is only worth half of one man's. She may not inherit the same amount of property in a family when her father dies. And Joseph Smith similarly had a low opinion of women, in the way he treated his own wife, for example, and that he used women for sexual gratification without any compunctions of conscience whatsoever. And interestingly, in all his writings, Joseph Smith, in the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine of Covenants, only mentions four women. Three of them are from the Bible, and only time his wife is mentioned when in the revelation of July 1843, he received the revelation that he could have plural wives, where he specifically addresses his wife that she was to accept it. So that's the only time she appears. In other words, again, reflects a very low opinion on his part, and similar with Muhammad in a different manner.
Now, with all this said, it kind of brings us back to a question that we talked about last time, I believe, and that is, how in the world did these men gain such loyal followers if it was quite obvious to anyone casually observing them over a period of time that they were
rogues, that they were, even if they believed their own revelations, they were not nice men.
Well, there were a couple of things that Muhammad had a different culture going for him that made it in some ways maybe easier than it did for Smith. The culture there was that the man was all powerful. He could take as many wives as he wanted to, and violence was an accepted way of treating your opposition. And so when Muhammad went to Medina or Medina in 622, he basically escaped from Mecca to save his life. And when he got to Medina, he changed his entire philosophy. He says, I am the last prophet and am sent with the sword. Previously, he tried to gain followers by means of persuading them, and he didn't get very many. About 60 or 70 is all we can determine he was able to get in about 8 years' time.
About 30 seconds here, Dr. Smith.
Yes, and when it comes to Joseph Smith, for example, the people who followed him were often very biblical illiterate. And Joseph Smith, a very, very charismatic individual. When he spoke, he sort of mesmerized people. That had a great deal to do with people following him and staying with him. However, also many of them did leave Mormon circles in Kirtland. They did it in Missouri. They did it in Nauvoo. But for the most part, I'd say evidence indicates that perhaps a third over Joseph Smith's time actually did leave him. But they had a tremendous amount of charisma, and they were rewarded in many ways, and not idolized, but lifted up in terms of their spirit. They were made to feel important, if I may put it that way. And so many of them followed them, and they were religiously, in many ways, unaffiliated or had a very poor understanding of Christianity and were basically nominal Christians. And so Joseph Smith seemed to promise a new day.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, called The American Muhammad. Next time, we're going to talk with Dr. Schmidt about the psychological and political parallels between Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Again, thank you. My pleasure.
Dr. Schmidt will be one of the presenters at our Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference coming up this summer, June the 14th and the 15th, Friday and Saturday, here in Collinsville, Illinois. He's going to be making the case against Islam, and you don't want to miss it. Alongside with Dr. Schmidt will be Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, and Suzanne Venker. I'll be there as well. We'll be broadcasting live to open the conference on the 14th. You can register online. It's $100 per person. Issuesetc.org. Look for the logo of the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 14th and 15th, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois. You can also call Craig and ask him any question you got about the conference. 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig. 618-223-8385. Put it on your calendar and register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 14th and the 15th, this summer, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we're going to talk about authenticating the so-called Gospel of Judas. Dr. Craig Evans will be our guest.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.